farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown."
Well, good evening, everyone. Great to have you with us. Excellent. And congratulations if you've just been at the student weekend away and you've got the stamina to come for a service this evening. That's brilliant. I'd like to start by showing you a poster I came across quite recently. Here it is. "I'm only responsible for what I say, not what you understand." It's a very trendy way of looking at things, actually, isn't it? It sort of sums up postmodernism. "I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you understand. I can say something, and you might hear something different from what I meant. What I say isn't concrete. What I say, well, it isn't objective." And I have to say, well, I personally find that a bit uncomfortable. It feels like a bit of a cop-out. It feels like I don't have to take responsibility for the effect of my words on other people. And yet, that's what the Bible says telling people the gospel is like. And that's what this parable of the sower is all about. "I'm only responsible for what I say. You're only responsible for what you say when you tell people the gospel. You're not responsible for what they understand." So here's a summary of where we're going this evening. I'm only responsible for telling people the gospel. I'm not responsible for their response. Well, let's look at the parable. The picture's a very simple one. It would have been very familiar to people in Jesus' day in an agricultural sort of society. There it is in verse 3. "A farmer went out to sow his seed," says Jesus. Perhaps Jesus was pointing at a farmer in a field nearby as he spoke. And a farmer in those days would walk along with a bag of seed in front of him, throwing out handfuls as he walked along. Just tossing it out. So Jesus describes him in verse 4 as scattering the seed. That's exactly what they did. They just chucked it out and the seed ended up all over the place. So the point is the sowing was indiscriminate. The farmer isn't pictured as getting down on his hands and knees to check out the ground or to dig it over, to weed it, to get rid of the stones. Not in this parable anyway. He's pictured, Jesus says, as just scattering. So what's Jesus' point? Well, look at verse 14. Turn over to verse 14. "The farmer sows the word. The farmer sows the word. Sowing in this parable is a picture of telling people the gospel. What is it that's sown? It's the word that's sown. There's no evangelism without speaking. Being nice to people isn't evangelism. Helping people isn't evangelism. Maybe a great preliminary to sharing the gospel. It may pave the way, it may establish a relationship, but it's not evangelism until we sow the word. So the first thing Jesus says in this parable is, scatter the gospel. Scatter the gospel. So here at the beginning of Mark chapter 4, we find Jesus mobbed by such a large crowd that we're told in verse 1, he got into a boat and sat in it out in the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. It's quite a picture, isn't it, when you sort of imagine it in your mind's eye? Probably the people could see him better at a bit of a distance. And the acoustics would be better too. Sound carries better over water. So we read in verse 2, he taught them many things in parables. And if you read through the Gospels, about a third of the recorded teaching of Jesus consists of parables. And clearly, Jesus was very good at it. Now, at first sight, this parable of the sower, which Tim read to us, it doesn't really seem too hard to understand, does it? Jesus is talking about a farmer sowing, and he picks up in these four different places the seed might fall. On the path, on the rocky places, amongst the thorns, or on the good soil. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that when you open your mouth and tell someone the gospel, you don't know if it's good soil or not, the seed's falling on. You just can't tell. So the first lesson here is don't be selective, as if you knew the outcome. You don't know the outcome. Just scatter. Just scatter the gospel. I mean, let me ask you this, if you're a Christian here this evening. Did you look like good soil when someone told you about Jesus? Did you? I know I didn't. I was proud, I was self-satisfied, I was cynical. And quite honestly, I was just plain rude to people, these annoying do-gooder Christians who came and pestered me and talked to me about Jesus. And yet here I am. Because people just patiently went on sowing the seed, scattering the seed. So where does Jesus start in this parable of the sower? Verse 14, the farmer sows the word. Scatter the gospel, just do it. And then Jesus describes what happens when we do. And verses 4 to 8 are the parable itself. And verses 14 to 20 are a sort of unpacking the parable. And please just follow me, be patient with me as we turn between the two, backwards and forwards. We're going to look backwards and forwards. So four types of soil. And the first one is the path. And the path is beaten hard, and it's really pretty hopeless from the word go. The seed never really stood a chance on the path. So, verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. What happened? The birds came along and ate it up. And that was that. This is about those who never really take the good news about Jesus seriously at all. A bit like maybe the teachers of the law who said Jesus was demon-possessed. A bit like Jesus' earthly family who thought he'd gone crazy and came to take him away. What a triumph for Satan. He manages to convince these people never to listen at all. So turn over to verse 15. As soon as they hear the word, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Now we've all come across people like this, haven't we? We try to tell them the gospel, and they just don't want to know. I have people like that in my earthly family. They've never really heard the gospel, not because I haven't tried to tell them, but because they just close their ears and switch off and change the subject, and they don't want to know. They're the path that is a cause of great sadness to me. The path. So that's the first soil. The second one Jesus talks about is the rocky places. And when the farmer sows in the rocky places, it seems to go well. Verse 5, it springs up quickly. But the seed can't put down roots, and although it looks good to start with, it just simply doesn't last very long. So, verse 6, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. You met people like that? I have. They listen to the gospel. They respond with interest. They respond with enthusiasm. Maybe they come to church. Maybe they even say they've become a Christian. But it's all short-lived. Verse 17 over the page. Since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. As soon as it costs something to follow Jesus, they're nowhere to be seen. It turns out that the faith you thought they had wasn't a real faith at all. Isn't that discouraging? I find that discouraging. I think about a young man a number of years ago I spent many, many hours with, and he gave every appearance of having been saved. And he was baptized here at City Church, and then he moved away with his job to an environment that was more hostile to Christians. And now he's left his wife, and he says he doesn't believe in God at all. Do you know people like that? It's easy to be left wondering, did I do something wrong there? Did I not explain the gospel properly? Should I have done something differently? Was I responsible in some way for what happened? It's easy to think like that. Have you ever felt like that? So, that's the rocky places, the path, the rocky places. And then thirdly, verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Oh dear, another failure. What happened? Well, verse 19 over the page. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, I know a number of people like this. Here's a student, say. He puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he graduates. Now he has a job to hold down. Now he has a boss to satisfy. Now he has a career ladder to climb. And bit by bit, his Christian life starts to get squeezed. It's the worries of this life. Soon his eyes are off Jesus and onto these financial things. And they take center stage. It's the deceitfulness of wealth. And he looks for a bigger car and a larger house and more exotic holidays. And his Christian priorities are eroded. The desires for other things. Nothing wrong with any of these things in and of themselves, but they're things that entangle him. They're thorns, and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. I'm sure, I say to myself, I'm sure I warned him about these things. Was I not clear enough? Did I not take enough trouble? Was it my fault? How's my evangelism going? Well, not too promising, really, is it? The path, the rocks, the thorns. Maybe I just need to face up to it. Maybe I'm not too good at sharing the gospel. Maybe maybe I'm a bit of a failure in the evangelism department. Maybe I should just kind of shut up and leave evangelism to other people, should I? Wait a minute, though. Hold on. There's one more, isn't there? There's a fourth type of soil. Verse 8. Other seed fell in good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Success! At last, success. 100 times what was sown. A bumper crop. People hear the gospel and they get saved through God's word and their lives are changed and they tell others and lots of other people are saved, 30, 60, 100 converts. Hooray! Maybe I'm not such a disaster area when it comes to sharing the gospel after all. I'm feeling better about myself. Hooray for me! Yes, but what about the path and the rocks and the thorns? I could have done more, couldn't I? I feel awful about myself. See what happens? Here I am on this emotional roller coaster, up and down, depending on whether I think I'm doing well at sharing the gospel or not. People respond to the gospel, and I'm puffed up with pride. Good for me. People reject the gospel and I'm cast down in despair. I wonder if that's how it works for some of you here tonight. That's not the message of the parable of the sower. Scatter the gospel, yes, scatter the gospel, but then expect a variety of responses. That's what Jesus says. That's what you should expect. Expect a variety of responses. The farmer sows, and he meets with some success, and he meets with some failure, and that's what happens every year for every farmer in every field. And Jesus' point is very simple. Here it is, listen. The success of the sowing doesn't depend on the technique or the skill of the sower. He just scatters. The result depends entirely on what the soil is like. There's no crop without sowing, but let me just say it again. The success of the sowing doesn't depend on the technique or the skill of the sower. The result depends entirely on what the soil is like. Is it the path? Is it the rocky ground? Is it the thorns? Or is it the good soil? That's what matters, provided somebody's sown. You see, the parable of the sower, obviously, is something much more than just a sort of kindergarten course in cereal cultivation. What does Jesus say? Verse 9, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Not only must the gospel be told, but the listener must have ears to hear if anything's going to happen. They must be good soil if it's going to produce the results. John Stott very usefully once described evangelism like this. He said, evangelism is like taking a man to see the unveiling of a statue, to the ceremony where the cloth's going to be taken off and the statue's going to be unveiled. But there's a problem in that the man has a blindfold on. And if he's going to see the statue, two things have to happen. Firstly, the statue has to be unveiled. And secondly, the blindfold has to be removed. Both have to happen. Unveiling the statue, displaying the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people the gospel, that's our job. To explain who Jesus is, to explain what Jesus did, to explain what that achieved, that's our job. But we can't remove the blindfold from someone's mind and heart, because that is God's job. Well, Jesus' disciples are a bit in the dark about all of this. They come to him, verse 10, and they ask him about the parables. Why teach in parables, Jesus? Huh? Why not just tell it straight? And I think Jesus' answer must have shocked them. Maybe it shocks us too. Look what he says, verse 11. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. You see what that means? A secret or a mystery in the Bible means something that can't be worked out, something that can't be discovered. It's something that must be revealed. A mystery in the Bible is revealed by God. So here's the word of God. It's sown all over the place. That's what we're called to do as Christians. But spiritual understanding, that's a gift. That's a gift. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. That's what Jesus tells the disciples. Not given to the rest of the crowd. They remain those on the outside. Isn't that shocking? I mean, isn't it? Did you think that Jesus told parables to make everything clearer? It's not that simple, is it? The parables are told to be understood by some and to obscure the truth from others. Now, people have tried hard to explain that away, but we can't escape it because Jesus went on to ram it home by his quotation from Isaiah in verse 12. Things are said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So Jesus' parables acted, I suppose you might say, as a sort of filter. Those Jesus has chosen, the insiders, to them the secret of the kingdom of God is given. And for the outsiders, well, for them it remains a mystery, doesn't it? So let me ask you, if it had been you there in Palestine all these centuries ago, where would you have sown the seed? Where would you have sown the seed? If it had been up to you, why waste seed on the path and the rocks and the thorns? If you'd been there, would you have bothered with the tax collectors? Would you? Would you have told the gospel to the sinners and the prostitutes? Surely they're going to be the stoniest ground of all, aren't they? Better to speak to the religious people, surely. But no, much of the good soil is found in the most unlikely places. The Pharisees and the priests, by and large, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. It was the outcasts that flocked to Jesus and listened to what he said. The parable of the sower is a picture of sharing the good news about Jesus. We can't tell the difference between the different soils. We can't. We don't know which one is which. But we don't preach a different gospel to different people that we shouldn't. We don't tailor the message to the audience. No, we just get out there and scatter the seed. And here's the central lesson of the parable. The outcome of evangelism depends not on the technique of the sower, but on the nature of the soil. That's the take-home message from the parable of the sower. The outcome of evangelism depends not on the technique of the sower, but on the nature of the soil. Our responsibility is to share the gospel to the best of our ability, and what people do with it is between them and God. Do you remember Paul and Barnabas preaching in the city of Antioch, preaching the gospel, and we're told almost the whole city came out on the Sabbath, gathered to hear them. And this is what we read, all who were appointed for eternal life believed. All those who were good soil listened and accepted and grew. So, scatter the gospel, expect a variety of responses, and leave the outcome to God. Leave the outcome to God. So I think we need to learn two important lessons from this parable. Here's the first one. We as sowers can take no credit for the harvest. We can't change, you and I can't change one type of soil into another. We can't do it. What does that mean? That means there's no room for pride. If you go out and share the gospel and someone gets saved that's not your doing, you just sowed. If I go and tell a gang of people the gospel and a whole lot of them become Christians, I can't take the credit for that. There's no room for pride. And here's the other side of the coin. Here's the second lesson. We shouldn't be discouraged when we share the gospel with people and they don't get saved. The quality of the soil is not our responsibility. It's not our fault. Now look, isn't that an encouragement to you? If you're sharing the gospel with friends or colleagues or housemates or family or whoever it may be, and no one gets saved, it's easy to think you're doing it wrong, isn't it? It's easy to think you're not very good at it. It's easy to think you might as well just give up. Do you ever feel like that? Well, it's not true. Learn from the parable. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just keep on sowing. God doesn't call us to be successful. God calls us to be faithful. That's the lesson, isn't it? God doesn't call us to be successful. Success is his business. The outcome is his business. John quoted that verse from Isaiah. God's word does not return to him empty, but achieves the purpose for which he sent it, whether that's salvation or not. God doesn't call us to be successful. That's his business. God calls us to be faithful. So don't be discouraged. Just keep on sowing. And on the other hand, don't be proud. Just keep on sowing. We can unveil the statue. We can tell the gospel, but it's up to God to remove the blindfold. I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you understand. Scatter the gospel, expect a variety of responses, and leave the outcome to God. And there's a day coming when God's kingdom will be complete, and there's going to be a bumper crop. 30, 60, 100 times what was sown in the parable. You open the book of Revelation, turn to chapter 7. It's a great multitude that no one can number standing before the throne of God. Scatter the gospel, expect a variety of responses, and then leave the outcome to God. And as we finish this evening, I just have to ask you a question. When Jesus talks here of insiders and outsiders, where does that leave you? It's not my language, insiders and outers. I'm outsiders. I'm just quoting what Jesus says. We're all one or the other. We're all either citizens of God's kingdom or outsiders. Is all this a mystery to you? I mean, honestly, is it? It needn't be. If you want to understand, if you want to belong to God's kingdom, if you want to be good soil, ask God to change your heart. I can't change your heart. And listen, you can't change your heart either. But God can. Ask him to make your stony heart into good soil. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank you that as your people you have entrusted to us the privilege of sharing the great and glorious good news about the Lord Jesus Christ with those around us. Thank you that we are your ambassadors. Father, help us have a right view of what that means. Help us to boldly scatter the gospel, scatter the seed, tell as many people as we can, as well as we can, as often as we can about the Lord Jesus Christ, and to leave the outcome to you. Father, thank you that you haven't given us that responsibility. Thank you that you are perfect in wisdom, that you know those who are yours, that you know the different soils, even when we don't. Help us to trust you with that and to go out and do the part that you've given us, which is to tell other people the gospel and trust you with the outcome. For your glory. Amen.